40 women exist in an underground bunker, watched by silent guards who never speak, never explain. Among them lives a girl who knows nothing else. No childhood beyond these concrete walls, no memory of sunlight or trees. The guards enforce arbitrary rules with electric prods. The women eat tasteless rations, sleep on bare floors, relieve themselves in buckets. No interrogations occur, no demands are made. The captivity has no apparent purpose, and this absence of meaning becomes its own torture. How do you resist a system that refuses to reveal what it wants from you? The women construct elaborate theories, experiments, apocalypse survivors, political prisoners, but every explanation feels insufficient. Then one day, an alarm sounds. The guards flee. The cage door stands open. For the first time in decades, they face a choice. Stepping into freedom reveals a landscape as incomprehensible as their imprisonment. The world stretches flat and barren. No trees, no animals, no other humans. Just endless, empty terrain dotted with identical abandoned bunkers. The narrator, seeing sky for the first time, struggles to process its vastness after years in confined spaces. The women walk for days, then weeks, finding only more emptiness. Their elderly bodies, weakened by captivity, develop blisters and fail gradually. Each death is marked with improvised dignity, small rituals in a world offering no cemeteries. They ration emergency supplies found in bunkers, capture rainwater, suppress hunger. Yet they continue, driven by the human need to seek meaning, to find others, to discover some explanation. The landscape offers spectacular sunrises and sunsets, moments of transcendent beauty that remind them the world contains more than mere survival. They name hills and depressions, imposing human meaning on terrain that resists interpretation, creating a geography of hope in seemingly hopeless circumstances. The older women cling to memories of their previous lives, lovers and children, careers and travels, ice cream on summer days. These recollections become precious possessions, perhaps the only things truly theirs. The narrator listens with fascination to tales of a reality she cannot imagine, absorbing secondhand experiences that shape her understanding of humanity. Some guard their memories jealously. Others share freely, finding comfort in collective remembering. Certain stories become communal property, told and retold until they acquire mythic status. As years pass, memory itself becomes unreliable. The women forget, confuse timelines, lose details. This deterioration terrifies them more than physical decline. To forget is to lose another piece of themselves. They develop memory games and rituals of recitation, desperately preserving what remains. The narrator, having no cast to remember, becomes their unofficial historian, cataloging their stories with unusual clarity. As their numbers dwindle, the survivors entrust their most precious memories to her, making her promise to remember them when they're gone, a form of immortality in a world without monuments. Despite extraordinary circumstances, hunger and thirst and exhaustion shape every day. The women's bodies, once instruments of pleasure and productivity, now represent vulnerability and limitation. Some maintain rigorous hygiene despite scarce resources. Others surrender to deterioration. Sexuality emerges as complex terrain. Some form intimate partnerships, finding comfort in physical closeness, while others maintain celibacy as personal preference or resistance. The narrator, whose body never developed sexually, views these dynamics with curious detachment, understanding desire intellectually, but experiencing it differently. Without medicine, illness presents particular challenges. The women rely on folk remedies and mutual care, developing systems for tending the sick. Death comes with varying degrees of grace and fear. Some fight desperately, others accept their ending with philosophical resignation. Food becomes increasingly significant as supplies dwindle. The women transform eating into social and spiritual practice, sharing equally regardless of hunger or contribution. This communal approach to physical sustenance reflects their deeper understanding that survival depends on maintaining humanity through ethical choices. Without formal power structures, the women develop consensus-based governance, where different individuals lead based on strengths rather than authority. Decisions emerge through open discussion, often lengthy and contentious, but preserve both practical needs and dignity. As resources dwindle, conflicts arise between immediate self-interest and long-term planning. Resolutions rarely satisfy everyone, but maintain basic fairness. The oldest women command respect earned through useful contribution, not age alone. As deaths reduce their numbers, relationships intensify, and each loss creates practical and emotional voids. The narrator, initially peripheral due to youth and difference, gradually assumes greater responsibility. Her unique perspective, knowing no other reality, provides insights others miss. This governance system starkly contrasts the rigid hierarchical control under the guards, demonstrating that humans might naturally evolve more equitable arrangements when stripped of artificial power structures. Why were they chosen? Why does no one come? These questions remain unanswerable, yet the asking itself matters. A refusal to surrender intellectual curiosity despite overwhelming evidence. Some turn to religious interpretation, seeing divine testing. Others develop secular philosophies, finding purpose in daily survival or maintaining human values despite inhuman conditions. Some abandon the search for meaning entirely, focusing only on immediate needs. Others construct elaborate theories, government experiments, alien abduction, collective hallucination. The narrator, having known no other reality, asks more fundamental questions. What does it mean to be human? What purpose does consciousness serve? How should one live when all conventional goals are absent? As hope of rescue fades, the women increasingly create meaning through their relationships. The community itself becomes the purpose. The narrator's search culminates in her decision to write their story, transforming random suffering into narrative, the ultimate human response to absurdity. The narrator's final solitary existence in the bunker becomes both her greatest challenge and the culmination of lifelong difference. She maintains routines of hygiene and organization, not from necessity, but as affirmation of personhood, evidence of her humanity with no one to witness it. Her writing creates an imagined audience, a future reader who might understand. As physical decline approaches, she faces dying entirely alone, yet she achieves remarkable reconciliation. Despite never experiencing intimacy, family, or belonging, she recognizes she has lived fully human, observing, questioning, connecting, creating meaning. The irony that reproductive cancer kills her, she who never menstruated or knew men, becomes material for philosophical reflection. Preparing for death with characteristic dignity, arranging her body, completing her manuscript, she demonstrates ultimate human freedom, choosing how to face inevitable extinction. This final assertion of agency completes her journey from object of incomprehensible forces to subject of her own narrative. In a world obsessed with connection, we've forgotten that consciousness itself is fundamentally solitary. We enter alone, we leave alone, and everything between attempts to bridge that unbridgeable gap. This story offers no comfort or answers, something more valuable. Recognition that our humanity doesn't depend on circumstances, relationships, or understanding. It resides in bearing witness to our own existence, insisting on meaning when none is given. Your life may never make sense to anyone else, perhaps not even to you, but living it consciously, refusing to surrender your humanity despite everything that would strip it away, is enough. It has to be enough. Because in the end, that's all any of us have.